ask you, Lord, you would be the center and the heart and the full embodiment of us as a people. Let us discover, Lord, fully and properly what it means to live as Christ and to die. That is, to die to self is gain. Be our teacher, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In the year 2000, there's a little church history. We have lots of stories along the way. But in the year 2000, early in the year, a prophecy came in the church, one of these very practical and clear as day kind of words. I'm pretty sure it was Daniel Payne. If it wasn't Daniel, he had some similar ones, and Daniel really had a profound prophetic gift. But the word that came went like this. It said that we were to, as a people, to rope ourselves together for the push to the summit. Now, at the time, like, you know, recently there's been a movie out about climbing Mount Everest. What was that? Wasn't there a movie out recently? Yeah, everybody knows it, except me and Dennis. I never went to... No, but there was a recent movie about this climbing Mount Everest, right? And, you know, how difficult it is and people die and all of that. Well, way back in the year 2000, that story, I think the same story, it was a big, big story at the time. Reader's Digest had it all written up. It was called... Into Thin Air, that's right. There was a lot said about it at the time. I think there was a movie at the time too. There was certainly a book. Maybe it was the publishing of the book. It was an astounding tale, Into Thin Air. So because of that background at the time, that was the context, a prophetic word came to us, peace, that said that we were to rope ourselves together for the push to the summit. Because, you know, the background of this story, Into Thin Air, is that if you're going to climb Mount Everest, first of all, it takes quite an effort to get to base camp. And then you stay at base camp for weeks and weeks acclimatizing. But up beyond base camp, you've got like stage one, stage two, stage three. There's camps. And all these weeks, you're carrying supplies. First of all, it takes a long time to get your supplies to base camp. But then you do these treks up to stage one, carrying gear, coming back down. All this is huge effort. Carry more gear up to stage one, carry back down. You've got to get heaps of supplies up there. Then you've got to do these treks, stage one to two, carrying up supplies, coming back, camping the night. You know, then you've got to get supplies to stage. So all along the way, you've got supply dumps all up this mountain. And then finally, you're up at stage three camping and you've got all your gear. And the last stage is what they call the push to the summit, which is the most difficult part of all. It's why you need all the supplies up there. You know, the oxygen, the food and all this stuff. So the word that came to us was, rope yourselves together for the push to the summit. And we're not talking about the annual summit we have every year, or every year we have a conference or something. No, we're not talking about that. It wasn't at the time. The picture at the time was this, that in the church we had spent years and years praying. We had poured by that time 12 years of prayer, every morning prayer, lots of evening prayers, weekend prayers, pouring prayer into the Lord, getting us where he wanted us to be. This was like us getting the supplies up. You know, and we had experiences of God, breakthroughs, changes, tough times too. We didn't realize, but all that while we were positioning ourselves well up this mountain so that when this word came, rope yourselves together for the push to the summit, what it meant was you're close and there's something here to be achieved, but you've got one more really difficult climb. Now, what was the Lord asking us to do? Here's what the Lord asked us to do, because this rope yourselves together had a meaning. He wanted a minimum of 60 members of the church to meet together for prayer on Friday night from 7:30 to midnight. This was the roping ourselves together for the push to the summit. 60 people minimum every Friday night praying into where the church was supposed to go. And I asked for the volunteers, and I got them, and every Friday night we had 70 to 90 people. And we had that for 2 years and more. It went on into the third year, the fourth year. We had the youth were there, our musicians, our worship leaders, the band, all the pastors, hosts of people. People would come in, bring their kids. Kids go to sleep on the floor. And this went on for several years, every Friday night. Basically, the bulk of the church was there every Friday night from 7:30 to midnight. How many people remember those days? And it was good worship. And we'd worship God. And we'd press in and then spend that whole evening, like the first half hour or more's worship, but then 4 hours in prayer. The urn was on. We'd get it. Just go get a cup of tea anytime you want. But this was good prayer. Now, with time, that was the year 2000, early 2000. And we had those watches on Norman Road, and then we had a year in the showroom over here on Yamba Road. We met there. And then we got the fire station up here, and we're meeting in the fire station. And eventually we got this property. And once we got this property, which was in the about mid-2003, and we started youth, that's when we had a youth meeting as well as the watch up there. And from that point on, it wasn't the same phase of ministry. But here's why I've retold the story. Even though we did all that, and, you know, the watch kind of, after several years, after what, 3.5 years and 4 years of this big crowd, we had quite a long time. We went in different directions. We still have the watch, but these days, you know, it's just maybe 20 people involved coming and going. It was only recently, I think it was about 3 Sundays ago, I'm here, and it suddenly struck me. I had never seen it before. We hit the summit. We did hit the summit. The thing that we were supposed to rope ourselves together for and pray for, we actually achieved. And we didn't realize it, that that was the summit. We were just always in this mentality of continuing to pray, continuing to seek God. But 2 years after we began that process of the Friday night watch with all of us there, the most astounding stuff broke on this church and kept breaking all year long. I'm referring to the astounding events of 2002 that shifted our planetary alignment, so to speak. And we were never the same people again. We were good people before, but we were better people afterwards. And that was the year of the family camp, where the Lord told us, make no preparation, prepare no messages, prepare no worship. And we turned up and the Holy Spirit took over, and we had the most astounding face-to-face meeting of our people that totally changed our whole perspective, and it totally changed the spirit of our Sunday morning meetings. We didn't know that was only the beginning. We thought that was great in itself. I never realized we're starting to hit the summit 2 years after we had roped ourselves together. But a few months later, Chuck came and taught. He came for the Apostolic Summit and taught sonship that weekend, and it changed our hearts. Tony was totally delivered and healed and set free, and it began in 2002 prior to the family camp, continued on after, and he got a huge breakthrough at the summit. But my heart at that summit totally changed. And it was like another whole step forward. But then a few months later in October, the first Sunday of October, the Holy Spirit changed the heart of every person in the church at that time. And we stepped into this whole new phase of ministry. We call it Holy Community. And it totally changed the heart values of all of our people on the whole. I can't guarantee it for, you know, every last individual, but the spirit of the church changed, and it was from that time the Lord began to send, like, I mean, I was already going all over the world, but he started to send other people all over the world, and our books started to go. And not only that, but it was from that time Australian churches opened. Don Drayson came into connection. Rodney Samuels. All of these guys joined us after the Holy Spirit changed our hearts in October 2002. And I look back on that year, because I've always thought, that's astounding. Church, this doesn't happen in churches. Nowhere do you get a church that tells a story of three big events like that happening in 1 year. This doesn't just happen. And you can't make it happen. I can't make it happen. We couldn't turn around and say, well, let's have another good year this year. You can't manufacture it. No, you've got to pray your way through and let God bring you into it. The astounding thing is, he gives us this word, it's a push for the summit, it's like this last push, and we pushed, and we got something. And what's the lesson then? We had better keep looking to the Lord for whatever else he wants to do with us. Because here's what's becoming clear. I said all along that what we received in that year wasn't the whole deal. It was good and life-changing, but there was something bigger. It was like a down payment, but the full payment was out there somewhere. I put it in those terms. But here's a mental picture. Imagine you climb what you think is a great mountain, and you get to the top and you arrive at the summit and you've achieved it and you can rejoice, but you discover something on the other side. That as great as this mountain is, there's another mountain, and it's even higher. And you got to get, conquer this one completely, get over the other side, explore its territories, but you're going to have another summit to push. And I think that's where we are. I think we're somewhere up that other mountain, and we're supposed to keep climbing the mountain, climbing the ground. And this means, friends, we simply have to be all the more mindful, loyal, faithful with respect to keeping on claiming the ground the Lord wants us to have. He has more for us. But we're not going to get any higher on this mountain without also emptying ourselves of self and becoming all the more Christ. So, one of the things... Now, look, Dennis, on that point, Dennis came in this morning, shared something with me on this very point. Dennis, come here for a moment. I don't know what I did with that microphone. I think, Dennis, share this, because I think this is what leads into our prayers today.
Yeah, well, it was in The Watch on Friday night, and John shared that he'd nearly completed the book, and we were praying about it. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, what would stop this book from having the... What do I need to pray for that would have, what would stop this book from having the full potential that it has to have? And straight away, the Lord just said to me, pride could stop this book like a brick wall. And so I started praying, and then the Lord revealed to me, pride even in myself, as in the way I think, the way we could think that we've got something better than someone else. And the Lord just really dealt with me up in that room. And it was just, I just felt the Lord say that if there's pride attached, his hands are off. But if there's humility and gentleness, it will just be driven along, and it will accomplish the work that he needs.
Yeah. So in a moment, we're going to take up our prayers and just humble ourselves before the Lord. We empty ourselves, because anyone in the Lord's service, no matter what that service is, and the Lord has many servants, there are many people in this world doing great service for Jesus Christ, and we have one little part of it. We have one component part to contribute to the whole. But anyone in the Lord's service who would be fruitful and carry power and grace must empty themselves. We must be humble. We must not think anything of ourselves. We must realize we are... In fact, you've only got to realize the truth. You don't have to make it up. You've just got to realize we are very ordinary people. We're country when everyone else is city, so to speak, right? We are ordinary people. And ordinary people the Lord can use. And but I mention this before we pray. The thrust of this book has to do with the body of Christ in any given city or region being one people, not many people. The body must come together. There must be a common leadership for cities. Not a common leadership for denominations, but a common leadership for cities. This is a major reformation of the church called for. And in these past years, at least the past 13 years, if not the past 20, it has been a very common prayer amongst us, certainly in the leadership, but often amongst the people, a very common prayer for the unity of the church in the city. I know that David Hood, as much or more than anybody in the church, has devoted himself to that prayer point. I know that Hazel prays it often and regularly, particularly if we're involved in spiritual warfare of any kind. Others no doubt have prayed it, and we've certainly prayed it in prayer meetings. But I would like to say that from this time on, it needs to be in everybody's heart. I said to this congregation just a year or two ago, what one thing, if we prayed for it and achieved it, if this one thing came about, would do more than any other thing to completely change our lives, to change families, to change the city, to change atmospheres, to change the whole church? What one thing, if we could obtain it, would do more than anything else to shift you and I and our families onto better ground? And that one thing is city eldership. I would like to ask you from this time, not just to keep the unity of the church uppermost in your prayers, but two specific things that I think, if you pray them, will be more effective prayers. Rather than simply praying generally for the unity of the body, I want you to pray two specific prayers, because specific prayers are the ones that get answered. I want you to pray for other pastors in the city. You know some of them by name. I want you to pray for them, that the Lord would give them grace and really bring them together in deep love. And I want you to, the other specific prayer I want you to pray is, I want you to ask the Lord to raise the city eldership. Now, bringing the pastors together in deep love and a city eldership is not the same thing, because not all pastors serve in a city eldership. Some do. You'll read the book, you'll find out why. But these are specific prayers, and you'll need to have them in your heart, because you cannot have the enemy work a backlash against the message by driving division into the church of your own hometown. You must pray for a far, far better outcome in your own city. Remember the scripture, seek the prosperity of the city in which you live. If it prospers, you also will prosper. So this is the call. There's one passage of scripture I will show you which is indicative of the kind of change of atmosphere. By the way, a city eldership, elders are the gates of the city. When you put a city eldership in place, it takes the peace of the city and the prosperity of the city and the protection of the city to another level. It's the shalom of the city, and the meaning of the shalom is actually peace and prosperity and protection and other things added in. The shalom of the city. It's the eldership that takes that to another level, and none of you here have ever seen a city that has that level of protection and blessing over it. But we look for it. Here's a passage from the Psalms that gives you an inkling of the kind of outcome that is already envisaged 3,000 years ago by the psalmist. So we put it up, Psalm 144. Skip that part because we're short of time. Here is the outcome. See, then, what are our outcomes? Here they are. Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Imagine that. These are lovely old Jewish, word pictures of beauty. Our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands, next bit. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. There'll be no breaching of walls, no going into captivity, no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed is the people of whom this is true. Blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. As you can see from Scripture, it is envisaged that life can go to another level of blessing and protection and prosperity. Do you see that first line there? Our oxen will draw heavy loads. Do you know what oxen are a symbol of in Holy Scripture? The ox is the symbol of the servant minister of Jesus Christ. This is your fivefold ministry, friends. As in the New Testament, when Paul said, do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain. What was his subject? He was speaking about how to remunerate and bless the teachers and preachers amongst you. So our oxen will draw heavy loads, meaning they'll carry a weight of glory and achieve great things. The output will be astounding from the ministry as a result of this level of protection and blessing on cities. Can you see why this just might be a very important call to prayer? Just as the book I'm writing is a call to pastors and leaders across the world to start talking to each other, because we have to go to a better place. So that's for your prayers. On the one hand, your prayers are going to seek the outcomes. And on the other hand, your prayers are going to shield the city and shield us from demonic schemes that might backlash against it. In your prayers, just forbid the backlash. So there you are. We're going to go to prayer, though, because Dennis's point is really the fulcrum of the lever. We have to be empty of ourselves. We have to realize this is not us. We are simply, you know, servants to do our part, the thing he wants us to do. And so we're going to go to prayer for a few moments and empty our hearts before the Lord and ask him for the grace we need. So, Philip, if you would just, if you're anywhere here, yeah, just fill in for us on the piano. I just wonder if you'd bow your heads with me. Let's just simplify ourselves before the Lord. A clear faith in his provision, a trusting of the Lord for him to reveal himself to us. We'll meet again here on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for prayer. That's just an extension of the roping of ourselves together for the push to the summit. The 7 o'clock prayer on Tuesday night is not a complex prayer meeting where everyone has to pray. No, we'll sit in the presence of God for an hour and a half, and whatever prayer comes, comes, and whatever listening comes, comes. Last Friday night at the Watch was the same. Some beautiful prayers were prayed, but there was a lot of periods where you couldn't pray because the glory of God was present. And he was doing something. You couldn't quite work out what he was doing, but he was doing something. As it will be Tuesday night. But for now, let the Holy Spirit move amongst us right now. Let the glory of God come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and begin to anoint afresh all the believers, all those seated here today. And I know, O Lord, that whenever you do this, the Holy Spirit also moves upon those who are not here. Just as in the days of Moses, when the 70 elders came to the tent and you took of the Spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders, there were two not present. We read that. When the Holy Spirit came on the 70, the Holy Spirit also came on the two who were not there, and they prophesied where they were. Lord, you're doing that for us today. I thank you. The Holy Spirit is not only coming upon those who are present, but it's coming upon the hearts and the minds of those who could not be present. Wherever they are, O Lord, thank you. And so anoint. Anoint the members of this church from one end of the globe to the other. An endless globe. Because I thank you, Lord, we have members all over the world. They're members of us and we are members of them. And so even now, as you anoint the hearts and minds of those here at home. Anoint them too. I think of Hosea in South Africa and of Israel there, their dear wives. And I think of those in Cambodia and the Philippines, Indonesia, Lord, New Zealand. I think of those in Canada and America and England and Ireland and Lord, Kenya and Ghana and so many other places. In the Solomons, oh God. So wherever they are, those who are meant to with us help carry this message. May the spirit of humility come upon them right now. I thank you, Lord, for both sides of this humility, that which we choose and that which you build into us, that which is developed by life's experience and that which is given to us by grace and impartation. Lord, we ask for it all today. We quieten ourselves before you. Come, Holy Spirit, and rest upon our hearts. We choose to be uncomplicated. Choose to be simple in your hands. I ask you, Lord, that you'd forgive us our sins. Every sin of presumption. Any sin of arrogance. And Lord, if there's any critical spirit amongst us, if there's any resentment or jealousy, any false accusation, I'm asking, Lord, that even now cleanse it. Cleanse us and take it away. Cleanse this body, oh God. We yield our hearts to you today. Let the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ wash our consciences again and remit the sins that we've so foolishly committed. Renew our hearts, O Lord, in the cross. We embrace the cross again that we might walk with you, carrying that cross, serving you. Lord, lead us into genuine and holy walk with our Savior. Everyone present, just quietly, I'll give you a moment. Just pray your own prayer and ask the Lord to cleanse your heart. To grant you the spirit of simplicity and humility in your walk with the Lord Jesus. If you'd now pray another prayer for yourself. Pray the prayer that I began to pray a long time ago in the 70s and the 80s. The prayer that I often enough led this church into in the early years. But I want you individually to take this prayer up now. With trust, ask the Lord to do with you and to do with us whatever he wishes. Tell the Lord he can take you where he wants you to go, in the things of the Spirit, in service to Christ, in your home and family. Just tell the Lord he must have his way with you. So yield to him, surrender to him. Go ahead and pray your own prayer. Holds out on God. We ask, O Lord, that if there is in any of us darkness or unresolved issues, any sin being held on to, or if there's any one of us, Lord, surrendering part but not all. Continue, Lord. Continue to strive with each one. Continue to remonstrate. Continue to show them your call. Continue to convict in the Holy Spirit until there's a full recognition of the glory of the cross and a complete surrender made. Until every heart is fully yielded, O God, and humble in your hands, and pliable as soft clay. O God, do your work. I thank you for your promise in which you said you'd perfect that which concerns us, and that is you'd finish the work that you began. And so we ask you, Lord, to finish this work in us. Perfect the saints. Bring the church to maturity, and even the rest of this day. Not only by day, but by night, O Lord, continue to speak to the heart of your people until everyone is clear about the way of Christ. O God, reveal yourself to your people. And so to have our hearts, O Lord, take our hearts, take my heart, take the heart of the people, and grant that we might find grace and favor before God. We might find our joy in the Lord, and that by that grace we'd walk in the high places, that we'd enjoy being seated with you above, all the while we walk with you on the earth. Thank you, Lord, for all the fullness of Jesus Christ. You're bringing us into fullness, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, this journey does have a particular goal. I said there's a bigger mountain. There's a much bigger mountain with a big summit. And I can tell you what it is. But I'm not going to tell you now. Except it's called in the Bible the fullness of God. Or the measure of the fullness of God. And in another place it's called the measure of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Fullness. And I will another day explain that to you, and if not before, then by the summit. But that is where we are going. Ultimately, it's where the Lord wants to take the whole church in the whole world. And so press for the summit, and those who are free, gather Tuesday night. Let's sit right here in the presence of the Lord and let him do a good work in us. Let me pray a benediction, and then I'm going to ask Amar if she'd sing while we sit in the presence of the Lord and meditate. Her song will be an extension of the prayers that we've just prayed. And Father, I thank you for all your goodness and your attention upon the saints. And now bless homes and marriages and children for the days. And put your prosperity and put your peace over every home, and over every marriage, and over the life of every man and woman, every person. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I release your blessing. I release the blessing of peace over every one of them. And I thank you for your goodness, the goodness of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whom we worship and whom we love. Thank you, Lord, the blessing of peace and grace and mercy rest on your people today, in Jesus' name. Amen.